I'm so grateful to be here. I just wish Pastor Lewis was feeling better today. I'm so thankful to him and for his commitment and your church's commitment. There have been so many wonderful people. As we were driving up here, my husband and I talked about how we feel like we probably know more people here than we do in our own church, and that's in part because we're Catholic, so forgive me that we're Catholic, but we so, you know, again, are admired and impressed by the spirit that's in this church and the generosity and the commitment to helping women and children, especially in need. And for those of you that may not know, some of that commitment is reflected and will be reflected again in a few weeks in our high tea. We've held it for 10 years. And I probably should go, let me stop and go back even further. And let me tell you about those, for those of you that may not know, about my sister's house. We started 16 years ago here in this community because there were high-profile deaths affecting some Asian women. And community leaders, not myself, said, you know, what's happening? Why are there deaths in these Asian families, and what can we do about it? They were victims of domestic violence. They were victims of abuse by their partners. And so those community leaders, with the help, I'm sure, of people from this church, began My Sister's House. And so we deal with abuse of all types, from physical, emotional. We've helped victims that are suffering from elder abuse. We deal with verbal abuse. We deal with immigration abuse, child abuse issues, and so forth. So all types of abuse we handle at My Sister's House. Men are sometimes abused too, but largely those that go reported are women and children. And what's different about My Sister's House is that we have that focus on Asian and Pacific Islander women and children. We accept survivors. We help women and children of all ethnicities, and again, men if they are abused. But what we do differently, what we think we do best, is helping women and children that especially may have the language and the cultural issues. And we know that, you know, it's hard enough to get help when you know everybody, when you know your community, when you have resources, but it's even harder when you have language and cultural issues that may prevent you from talking about what you might think or what your family might think might be shameful issues. So that's briefly the purpose of My Sister's House. And about 10 years ago, we knew we had to reach out to the churches, and we thought, how could we do this? And one of the ways that we came up with is we wanted to host a high tea. At first, I thought it was going to be a dim sum high tea, but the committee members said, we can do dim sum anytime. Let's go with an English high tea. So we created a high tea fundraiser to help raise some funds for My Sister's House services, but also to involve the community in the churches, in terms of learning about My Sister's House. And the first church that we went to was your church. And we said, can you help us? Can you help us host this tea? And your church said yes. And it was so important to us that we have it at a church because, you know, regardless of faiths, we had heard as staff, we knew as committee members, that there so many women go to their church leaders first, and their church leaders may not recognize the signs of abuse. And so they send them back to their partners thinking like, oh, okay, you know, telling them to be a better wife, to be more supportive, to communicate better, but they may not realize that the violence, the abuse continues and gets worse. And so that's why it was important for us to have this event. And it's a lot of fun. Your church, under I think the leadership of Marilee, especially has helped develop, and Jean Chong has helped make it very competitive event. If you can go, I invite you to go. We have delicious food, and we have 24 tables that are wonderfully decorated, and everybody votes for the best decorated table, so it's a fierce competition. And it's amazing. I think last year we had a canopy, and some years we have 6-foot mannequins, and they don't necessarily win, but it's great for the competition. And it's just, again, a lot of fun and a lot of attention to this very important issue. And for 10 years, your church has been doing this great, sponsoring this and hosting this. And I just want to thank you on behalf of our board and our staff for helping us with this event, and being part of this event. It's, you know, again, so important that as church members, regardless of faiths, that we be open to the fact that maybe in some of our homes, behind closed doors, things aren't going so well. And it's important that there be a place that they can go to, which is like the shelter that we can provide because of the funds that people help raise for my sister's house. It's important that women, that if they need to have legal papers to protect them, that they have that assistance and we're able to provide that free of charge. It's important that we have counseling support groups for the victims and for the family members, because unfortunately there's a lot of trauma that's involved with this issue. It's important that we have programs like My Sister's House does, like for example with It's My Sister's Cafe, that we provide job opportunities for women so that they can leave their abusive situation and not be dependent upon their abusive partner. So those are just some of the services that we typically provide to more than 300 women in person a year. The safety planning that we do to more than 2,000 women a year on the phones, trying to make sure that they get to safe places. And the three shelters that we provide in terms of emergency housing, transitional, and a shelter for human trafficking victims also. The thing that people sometimes forget is how much this issue affects our children. It's the reason that I wanted to do this work, because I really believe that, you know, it's important that we start with the children. And I'm thinking of the incident that happened in West Sacramento 2 weeks ago that involved an Asian mother and her three biracial kids. And the thing, if you watch social media, if you watch the media, what you realize is that mother still today has said there are no signs. There were no signs of what was happening. And so it's hard to believe that when her three kids became angels, that still today she says that there are no signs. Now, that's not uncommon if you do this work to realize that victims often minimize what's happening at home, because nobody wants to think that they're a victim. Nobody wants to think that they're about the pain that they're in. But for me, it's a gamble that we place on people's lives if we aren't honest about what's happening, if we're not honest about the signs, if we're not honest about our partner, then it's a gamble that we're having, and we may lose on that gamble. But it takes good folks like all of you to call attention to our family and our friends who may be suffering at home and may not want to deal with it. Good folks like you to support those that they may not know, because they know that, you know, if that story comes out, if those tragedies happen, it affects us too. Some way it affects us. Good folks like you to know that we want our children, we want our grandchildren, we want our nieces and nephew to grow up in loving and nurturing homes, and to create the vision of heaven on earth that I think we all crave for, that we all desire. Let me just say that October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month. It's one of the reasons we do the high tea in October. So again, I want to invite you to that. We also have a couple events like our, we have a book night this week to learn about Vietnamese experience. And then in November, we have our Run for a Safe Haven. And that's how we're celebrating, if you want to call it celebrating, Domestic Violence Awareness Month. And let me just close again, and I'm happy to answer questions that you may have about my sister's house or our services. Let me just say again, you know, thank you again for all that you do to support my sister's house. We really appreciate it. My husband always wants me to, in looking at him, he reminds me, like, you know, end with a happy story, Nilda. And so I'm going to end with a happy story. I wish that you could see the change that we have in our clients. Those of you that come to our high tea, you hear some of the stories from the clients themselves, which is very hard for the clients to give. But I know of, for example, one client that we're working with and how affected her children are, because of what they've been in. And this little change from not smiling with strangers to being a normal, to beginning that smile to with strangers, how that is a big win for us. And that couldn't be possible if she didn't stay with groups, with others, to show them and to work with other kids to show them that sadness, it does not have to be the order of the day, that tension does not have to be the order of the day. You know, and that's the win with the child, and to see the win with the mother in terms of getting on her feet and figuring out where she's going to go with her life. That's what you provide. That's what your support provides. That's what your prayers provide. And I just want to thank you for making stories like that happen. So thank you.
Yeah, I do. I have a question for you, and it's that you guys, did you say you started, was it 16 years ago? Was it 16 years ago? What are your aspirations, or what are your dreams, or are the next accomplishments, if you'd say, if I was queen for a day, I wish we could do this, and this is, would be like our next big accomplishment or hurdle or something that would really bless the people you're working with?
Okay, could you just start with the hardest question possible? you know, so that's always people often ask, and then I also feel like, you know, must not be very good. But, you know, really, I think our organization belief is we just want to be a solid organization so that we don't have to worry when that rainy days or when those drought comes. So that would be, because we want to, every day that we can provide our services, you know, is, I think, a help to the community. There are times when I'm in the office and I know I shouldn't be, and you know, like at 9 o'clock at night and the phone is ringing. You know, and so I'm answering phone calls, and I think that, so just want to make sure that that we can be open every day, and part of that, you know, in terms of that grounding of support in my dreams of dreams, like I would have an extra attorney or more attorneys to help people. I would have extra counselors to provide counseling. We have one of each, and we have some volunteers who assist us. Volunteers are wonderful, and they certainly help reduce the fundraising costs, but it's not the same as having someone available, you know, 40 hours. I'm a big believer in not like just opening places or services if we can't sustain them too. And so if we're able, you know, to sustain other services like another shelter, then that would be provided. And the other part that I would say too is that we also dream of providing more places for job opportunities for our women. You know, again, it's important to get them out on, you know, to get them independent. And the reality is, especially women with language and cultural issues, even if they volunteer, they're not going to be hired as interns or, you know, as staff, unless you have an understanding. They're not going to be hired, first of all. So you, and then you have to really have supportive management that understands when they have to go take care of their life emergencies or the courthouse issues and so forth. And that's, so more job placement opportunities would be the other dream. And that may mean expanding like the cafe and so forth. So more services to clients. I mean, my dream list does go on, and then I try to rein it back in so my husband doesn't have a heart attack. So.
Any other questions?
I imagine that your work is very stressful and very risky, especially when you have to intervene. How often do you have to go to someone's house and like an emergency situation or someone comes to you, and how dangerous is that for you and your staff?
So that's a great question. So we as a rule don't go to somebody's house. We will be helping the client pick up stuff, but only if law enforcement is there. Okay, so we try to be very safe with regards to that. Having said that, there still is a lot of danger, more danger involved than in other professions, and that's because we never know if somebody is very angry, maybe out there. So, for example, if our flyers are out on the back, and it has our mailing box address. It does not have our street address. We don't easily give that out. We do if we think we can trust you. We don't just to strangers, because actually a lot of problems happen at our office. They don't necessarily happen at our shelters, because the shelters we keep very secret as to where they are. In fact, you know, I always give the example, like, board members are the best of volunteers. And not all our board members, know where our shelters are, because not everybody has to know, and they're not going to be there for a long time, right? Because board members, term limits, they have term limits and so forth. So we have board members who do know where my sister's house shelters are, so they can safely say we are operating, everything is good, but not everybody knows. So we try to keep things very secret so that we can be safe. Every day we deal with safety, you know, we have safety practices, again, to be safe. So we are aware of the danger. I always tell people, like, if you're scared of this kind of stuff, then you can't come work or can't come volunteer at the office for my sister's house, because there hangs that danger there more than, like, you know, perhaps working in an ordinary office. But, you know, those that that are part of the team, they know it has to be done. It's something we do live with.
Okay, just a follow-up question on shelters. What's the general length of a family stay, or, you know, the mom and the kids there? How long do they stay there, and how can, I guess, we help you with that, with the shelters, you know, with clothing? I know we do clothing or supplies or anything like that.
Great question. So we have three different shelters. They're all six-bed shelters, and the reason why there's six beds is because we feel it's very important to have a family-type environment, right? Especially since we're Asian, we just feel like it's not. One of the reasons that Asian women weren't getting help, is because they didn't want to go to the big shelters that seemed very institution-like, right? And those shelters are run by good people too, but even if we were running it, just because of the numbers, it would have to be more institution-like, right? So we operate a six-bed shelter, three six-bed shelters, which operate in a home, so in a normal home. What are the stays? So in our emergency shelter, it's up to 90 days. In our transitional house, it's up to 2 years. Our trafficking shelter just opened up a year ago, and to be honest, we haven't set a policy. The clients that have come in kind of have left on their own, so it's not been an issue, right? And what I would also say is, we always tell the women, you know, it's not a hotel. You have to be working on your life. So say, for instance, you know, they could stay up to 90 days, but if, like, after week one, they're just lazing around, we'll ask them to move on so we can open the bed for somebody else, because it's not a hotel. It's a place where people need to be rebuilding their lives. And if they tell somebody, you know, also where the shelter is, those are big no-nos, and for safety reasons too. And so the second part of the question of how you can help us, if people have special talents, like in terms of construction and so forth, that's always a special need. We also appreciate the ongoing supplies, that the consumables that often go in people's houses, you know, from the toilet paper to the napkins to, you know, the canned foods, the pastas, et cetera, that's a big that's a big help. And sometimes also people give us fresh vegetables that we can give to, so if those with gardens, that's also helpful to our clients. It's always hard to say. I mean, sometimes we have special needs, it's like any house. So it's always, and sometimes we'll do things like, help support them in terms of their immigration needs. So there are costs associated with that. So funds are always helpful in terms of those weird expenses that are not ordinary. So those are just some of the ways. We have on our website, there's usually an ongoing wish list. I always usually ask people, like, how much are you thinking in terms of, like, you could make a difference with? And then, so then my answer might vary on that. And then the other thing that I would say is I also appreciate people's time and talents. If there's a special talent that you might have that we could talk about, then I'd rather you start off there than even cutting the check, because I want you to see where your time and where your money makes a difference. So, and we probably could always use more prayers too. So I'm just going to add to that thought. And really what I said about I think making a difference is we have to have discussions with our with our loved ones, whether they be our children or our grandchildren or our nieces or our daughters or our coworkers, about that, those difficult topics of, what abuse is occurring or what sexual assault is occurring. And I think that people have to start with being good. Like, what if, I have a young son and a young daughter, and I'm, always on them, like, how are you as a partner, or how are you going to be as a partner? That those are important discussions to have with our children, so that places like my sister's house aren't needed. Thank you again for your time. Thank you again for your listening. Thank you again for your support, your generosity, and your prayers. It's much appreciated.
Thank you. Wow. A couple things stood out to me. One is I thought about their beginning and how they started over recognizing that women were passing away because of the violence within the home, and that started something 16 years ago that still exists today. And I, before coming to this church, I came from Bayside Church in Granite Bay, and those of you that know the history of Bayside, it actually got started because there was some teenagers that got in a group of them and committed suicide together. And when they did that, the parents came together to speak about it. What can we do? And as that gathering happened, one of the attendees that were there was Pastor Ray Johnson. And next thing you know, Bayside Church was actually birthed out of a tragedy. So I know my sister's house was birthed because of tragedy, but what they've done since then is remarkable, and what they hope to do is very, very encouraging. So I just pray that we can get behind you guys. And now, thank you for coming and sharing, because there's a lot of ways that we can help that I'm sure many of us were not aware of. Whether we go online and we make a monthly contribution or one-time contribution or whatever, or volunteer with our talents and our gifts and our maybe even our profession and everything. So I hope that you speaking today has planted that seed within us to do something. The Bible says in James that we're to be doers and not just hearers only. And don't be like someone, the man that looks in the mirror and then immediately forgets what he looks like. We don't want to immediately hear of a big problem that's going on in our community and then just walk out the door and forget about what we heard and forget that there's a problem out there that we can be part of a solution. So I pray to God that today's going to be really a good fresh start for us to be rejuvenated and inspired and to be of help to your organization. And the last thing I'm going to say before I turn it back over and we're going to conclude the service here, I did still want to open this up, but I did want to say one thing too. When you apologize about being Catholic, there's no apologies needed, that you're a fellow believer in God. And I think sometimes I'm going to challenge all of us that when we get and a conversation happens about denomination and stuff like that, immediately start to build a bridge, because there's a lot of people that listen that are not believers, and when they see two different people that are God-fearing Christians and they start debating the differences, the small minute differences a lot of time in religion, it's better to start talking about all the things that we have in common, the belief in God and the belief that he sent his son to die for our sins, and that there's work to be done. If we start looking at the work that has to be done and how we can share with our coworkers our love, that our concern for them, and that we're there for them, it goes so much further than the little the details about our differences on how we see scripture. Okay, so that's what I have to share here. But I wanted, like as promised, if there's anyone that the Lord is pressing upon you, that you want to share a praise and something that's been going on, this is the floor is open to you right now. So we'll take a moment to allow you guys to share. Get a mic, sweetie. Give us 1 second. And thank you, Brittany, for coming. Brittany is a friend of Sweetie's, and she's here, been here before. We want to thank you for coming, Brittany.
Good morning, church. Good morning. You know, every opportunity that I get to be able to speak, I'm not going to sit down on my blessing. And when you first said, Eddie, you're just going to give us, you know, some time to think about. So my testimony is, how much do you guys love me? Because all I feel in this place is love. I've been here going on 6, almost 7 years now, and I never found a sad face. Everybody's always greeting me with such happiness and such fulfilling words that make me want to do better by myself. You know, and when I come to church, I want to put back. I want to give back. I want to help. I want to bring people to church so I can show my church off, because I love each and every one of you guys.
Thank you.
Oh, there he is over there.
They say, speak now or forever hold your peace.
Does anyone else want to share?
Thank you. I just wanted to say thank you so much for the church and the shower that you gave me. I was so surprised. I didn't even expect a shower or anything, and I'm very thankful for the ladies who arranged it, for Carrie and for me. And I know they're busy working with the kids right now. But just all of you, your generosity, not just how do I say this? Not just in maybe preparing something or giving something, but so many of you went like way beyond just thinking about like a little girl and what she would like and what would look cute on her. And it was really just such a blessing to feel your love, and really an answer to prayer that it was abundantly above, more than we could ask or think. And really just feel overwhelmed. You know, my family is way far away, but you have done and been so much more of a family to me. Thank you.
All right.
Is the name, are you keeping that a secret or not? Okay, so the new baby, little girl that we're going to see soon, her name is Esther. Praise God. Okay. We'll make time for one more. Does one more person want to share praise? And then we'll move on to the conclusion of the service. Okay, wonderful.
Don't you be on this side.
I want to thank all of you for all your concerns about how I'm doing, and I want to let you know that I'm doing fairly well. My medication is now preventing me from being lightheaded and wanting to pass out every time I stand up. So with medication and following the orders that I'm supposed to follow, well, for the doctor, I should be doing much better all along. So a 5-year good health is kind of promised in the beginning. So don't worry about me. I will do fine. I appreciate all of your love and your understanding, and I'm back. Thank you, and praise God.
Thank you, thank you. Okay, so we're going to conclude this portion right here in prayer, and then the worship team will come in. Pray with me. Father God, just thank you so much that we were able to hear from about my sister's house, God. We lift them up right now in prayer, Lord Father God, so that the staff members they need, that their hearts would be pricked, God, and that they would work their way into saying, here I am, Lord, use me. And all the other needs that the sister's house, whether it's monetarily or just safety, Lord Father God, we just lift them up right now, God, and we're so grateful that we can partner with them, God. And we just hope that we can hear praises in the future on how they're doing, God. And we pray also for Pastor Lewis right now that he's feeling better and that you comfort his heart and you let him know that you orchestrated this service and you took care of him. And we pray that he'll get well soon, Lord Father God. We thank you for him. We thank you for every visitor that's here and regular member, God. And we praise you and we thank you for all things in Jesus' name. Amen.